Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I love
Victor Wembanyama.
That's cool, man.
Slender Man.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Who?
Slender Man, the movie.
You don't know Slender Man?
No,
do not. I mean, because you've never been slim. Yeah.
How to say, I was trying to say like webmaniacs, right. Webmaniacs. I don't know.
Kind of like Animaniacs, you mean?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like webmaniacs. Because
you know what? It's so many syllables. That's what makes it hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because we were thinking, you know, there's not really like fan club names for NBA players like they do have for pop culture. Like for, you know, Beyonce, there's the Beehive, or there's Swifties, or, you know, I'm not through the
JV Hive. JV Hive was a thing.
I guess so. Like, there's not really a LeBron, like the King tribe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know,
that's a tough one.
Yeah. So
I can't think of a single player that has. I know there's probably many, but
yeah,
I can't think of any.
So I'm gonna start a trend: Wembaniacs and the Scotty Two Hotties. I like that.
Scotty Two Hotties. Also, Scotty Two Hotties is too. It doesn't really refer to a club, and
it
also
refers
to many syllables.
Well, true, but also it's like a double whammy when it comes to Scotty Two Hotties if you were born in the 90s. So, there you go. Shout out to Walder Sports. Welcome to That's a Rep Podcast, a podcast by Raptors fans for Raptors fans. We're recording this a day after a good effort, I'd say, against the 76ers. We're still 0-2 against the Nick Nurse-led 76ers, but coming off a very impressive win against the Milwaukee Bucks. And we are going to see when the next time we'll be watching the Raptors play is going to be on Sunday against the Wembaniacs. He's the truth, man. And that's going to be, we'll talk about him a little bit later. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode because, you know, work or whatever. Wish this could be our full time. But hey, you gotta talk Raptors somehow. Jay, just want to ask you, brother. Small sample size so far for the Raptors. Two wins, some pretty disappointing losses. But you know, I just want to ask you, how do you feel? First impressions. I feel like this is a good. It's not obviously. It's just the beginning of the season, but it's a small sample size. I just wanted to see what your overall feelings with the team is.
I think the preseason really shouldn't have happened. The preseason set us up for some overreactions.
After the first win, we're like 5-0, baby. We're 5-0.
Yeah, we are never losing under Rakic. Right. And that's the thing is, like, the funny thing is, I guess the irony of it is that we even say this. We say this every single time the word preseason comes up. It's it is only preseason. Don't take it seriously.
Every time. When everyone says take it with a grain of salt, it's just hard, right? Because you're excited. You're excited that this team looks different. They're looking good and they're putting up dubs. But hey, man, it was the preseason. And yeah, I think the most disappointing, because we easily could have been like 4-0. Or maybe not 4-0, maybe like
4-2,
yeah, or something like that. Because I think the 76ers they're too good of a team. Just like the Bulls lost, the Blazers lost, both of those were pretty disappointing. But yeah, man, like for me, I think that like there are negatives. Yes, agreed. I think when we look bad, we look like we're kind of out of sorts. I think there's not really too much of direction, but then there are a lot of positives, man. And I think a couple of ones I want to talk to you about is, number one, obviously we spoke about it in your name, Scotty Too Haughty, man. Scotty looks like he's taking not only a leap, I'm almost like a Siakam leap. Yeah. You know, he's going crazy. Let me just put out some stats for you right now, okay? In his career as a Raptor, he's averaged 15.5 points, 7.2 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 47.6 field goal percentage, and 29 3-point percentage. Okay, that's his career. Now, in this, again, small sample size, in 6 games, right now he's averaging 21.3 points a game, 9.7 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 2 blocks, 52.6% field goal percentage, and 39.3 3-point percentage. The only other players averaging 21 and 10 and 6, Luka, Jokic, Embiid, Scotty. Tell me that's not a huge leap for he's a franchise player right now, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's incredible.
It really is incredible to watch. And I know that this is, you know, there are really two extremes with this team, right? There's the far negative of how that offense is looking. And
yeah,
this 0.5 offense is going to take some time, right? And we're seeing the growing pains of that offense. This is one of the worst offenses in the league. It's definitely the worst half court offense in the league by a long stretch. Again, small sample size. But the positives, oh my gosh, number one defense in the league, or at least number two, and Scotty making this incredible leap. Like, let's be fair, the shooting numbers will probably regress a little bit, but who cares if they regress? Because it's not like, let's just say his shooting numbers went up, that could regress, and then we're just seeing what we saw last year. But these are improvements across the board. Mm-hmm. If anything, he's the player that has taken in this 0.5 offensive changes, philosophical changes, a lot more drastically, and has adhered to them a lot quicker than his teammates have. It's very, very obvious, and I think this is the part that's kind of shocked me the most, that this is his team.
Yeah,
like last year, we could say this was Siakam's team. And we were kind of disappointed that Scotty didn't make that leap. You know, at times it looked like it was Fred's team, but this is so very clearly Scotty's team. And that goes beyond the numbers you just laid out are outstanding.
Yeah.
And if you remember last year, there were similar numbers at the end of last year around number of points, rebounds, assists, and who is in that list. And there was like 5 people in that list, and one of them was Siakam. Mm. And now that's Barnes. And the positive sign with that is, it's very clear that he is not only the present for the Raptors, he's also clearly the future. Really quick side note here, but attached to Barnes, Louis Zatzman over at Raptors Republic put out an awesome article today about Scotty Barnes and his rising star. And he lays it out very clearly. And something that we have to consider is that Scotty Barnes, like, this is the future, right? Mm-hmm. And if we start to think about what that future looks like and what currently seems like the direction the team is headed by not extending Siakam, by not extending OG, he lays it out as the future core is not one that includes Pascal and possibly not OG. Like, you're looking at a core that is very promising in Scotty, Grady Dick, and Precious Achiuwa. Now, that's a lot to take in, but
it's true.
Again, you look at how Scotty started the season, right? I mean, it's not that hard to envision.
I was watching Esvander's, I guess, post-game review about the game, and he broke down a lot of what Siakam is doing, and in comparison to, I guess, what Scotty was doing a couple of years ago, where instead of like Siakam is still the number one one-on-one option. I think, like, 8 seconds left on the clock, you throw it down to the post. He's the best at creating his own space, his own shot. But a lot of the times, Siakam now is used kind of like as a decoy, or being camped in the three in the corner, where that was kind of the role that Scotty had, right? And now, like you said, it's reversed. So what he pointed out was, and it was very intriguing in the thought, is that the team, it seems like, again, small sample size, but it seems like the team didn't think that Siakam was going to be there at the beginning of the season. So they didn't really have a plan for them. The plan was, and it very apparent, that Scotty was going to be the franchise player. He's going to take the franchise role. He's going to have the ball most of the time. And Siakam wasn't going to be there. It's kind of playing out like that right now. And yeah, Siakam is a hooper. We all know that. He's going to fit in any role that he puts in. And right now, it just seems like you can tell that it's no longer asked upon him. And I think maybe that is... you can take it in the different terms, right? You can say that, okay, he's not going to be asked so much about him, so a lot of more, pressure is going to be off him. He doesn't have to play so many minutes, all of that stuff. But at the same time, it's like, well, he's still like a top 15 player in the NBA. Like, if you don't utilize him in a certain way, then like, what are we doing here? Like, there's still so many questions. Like, again, I don't want to take away the fact that, like, Scotty is playing super well. That game against Milwaukee was very impressive for all stretch for the entire starting lineup. But questions still arise. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Scotty is being the number one option and thinking that Siakam is camping in the three-pointer, it's like it's a double-edged sword. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard to see. It's hard to watch a little bit, like, Pascal being underused like this. And I would make a slight adjustment to what you said there. I would argue that it's not so much that the team did not anticipate Siakam being on this team. I think it's more the playbook is centered more around Scotty than Pascal. So that means that Pascal's adhering to whatever the play call is, is camping out more behind the three-point mark, like playing almost like a two-guard as opposed to his typical four.
Right.
So... that's part of, and this is something that Darko pointed out in the opening on Media Day, and I believe Masai did as well, that it's Siakam that has to fit into the new system. Now, I remember when that was said at the time, it was a bit concerning and threw up some alarm bells from everyone, like, but Siakam's your best player. Why does Siakam have to be the one that adjusts? Why can't the system be made around him? And it's clear now, the system is made around Scotty. So, I think there are a lot of signs here that point to not only is Siakam not the focal point anymore of this team, but like, don't be surprised if he does get traded. Like, these trade rumors are not going to end between now and February.
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't be shocked if he gets traded. I'm going to say this over, I'm probably going to say this in every single episode. You can probably like cut this and just insert it every time. I'm going to say this. Now, and I'll say it again next week and the week after. If and when Siakam gets traded, whatever we get in return will not appease the fans. It will seem like it is less than equal value, but you have to look at it in the lens of how does this benefit the team that surrounds Scotty? We're not trying to get another Siakam. We're not trying to get that. We're trying to get pieces that complement Scotty and complement Grady and complement Precious. So that's where our minds start to have to shift towards.
Right. But I still like give credit to Siakam where, he's trying to fit into another system, but like he's okay. Like, he's such a hooper, you know, like it doesn't matter if he plays the one or the 1B or the two or the three, like it, it really doesn't matter in his part. Like, as long as we get the W's, it's going to be fine. That's where I kind of think that record doesn't show, obviously, with we're, you know, 2-4, it's really not that very impressive. But at the same time, you watch this team, yes, there's going to be lapses, but the starting unit is relatively good. You know, the biggest reason, which I feel like the entire Raptors media, social media team knew, that the biggest problem was going to be our bench. And as soon as we put in our bench unit, and this is where I kind of been quite disappointed in, like, someone like Gary Trent. I'm not, like, you know, Malachi has been doing fine, but like Precious has been kind of underwhelming. Like, Chris Boucher is only playing like maybe like, you know, 10 minutes a game, 10 to 15 minutes a game. Like, as I'm looking at like the team minutes right now, in the beginning of the season, we were like, oh, I'm glad that, you know, Darko wants to play some of his bench. Right now, his starter is still playing average like 30 to 35 minutes. Like, it's still pretty concerning. And it's because they don't have a bench. You know what I mean? Like, how much can you, if you see your rookie, and I'm not taking anything away from Grady Dick. I think Grady Dick has been playing fantastic in the beginning. Like, even in Summer League, you can see him rushing a lot. And then once he started progressing and getting a little bit more minutes, you can see that he knows where to go. He's not forcing very much. He took a charge from Giannis, which is amazing. I'm not taking away from Grady. But at the same time, if your rookie that's not asked to be a franchise player, if your rookie is playing more minutes than someone like Gary Trent Jr., it's concerning. Someone like Chris Boucher, it's concerning. You know what I mean? Like, if you're asking to have Grady Dick to be in the last few minutes of a pretty tight game along with your starters, yes, Darko is searching for something. He's giving minutes for the young guys, but it's also a little concerning to me. Again, double-edged sword all the time.
Yeah, it is very difficult, right? Like, and it's a fine line to have to toe. And Darko's done an admirable job of that, right? I'm looking at the league leaders in minutes played per game, and I'm very used to seeing at least two Raptors in the top five.
Right.
I don't see anyone in the top 15. And that's, yes. I know what you're saying. Like, I get it. Scottie and Pascal are still around 35. But they're not amongst the league leaders, and that's a positive sign for me. Mm-hmm. It is funny to see Fred up there in the top five still. It's this bench is just wow.
It's wild.
It is. It's night and day. And another, you know, Raptors media legend, Blake Murphy, put out an article today talking about the trends he's seeing, and yeah, he highlights that the chasm between the starters and the bench, the starters are actually outplaying other teams' starters, right? Mm-hmm. This is a net positive team when the starters are on the court. Mm-hmm. So this is why you'll see the team jump out to early leads in the first quarter, which we have seen in several of the first six games. It's the second you see Malachi Flynn stand up. I
remember,
I get all jittery.
I think Lou Will pointed this out. Will Lou. Will Lou pointed this out. At one point, I think it was a game against Portland where they threw out a lineup with, I think it was like Grady, Gary, and Malachi with the starters of Scotty and OG. And in those cases, you want all the momentum and all the ball movement to go through those two starters, when really it was Scotty and OG camping out in the threes. And the offense was going through those three bench players. And that's completely backwards, right? You have to make sure that you have your two, you know, go-to scorers off the bench. Handling the basketball is probably not the way to go. And maybe that's a Darko thing. Maybe he's trying to do something. I'm not too sure. But at the same time, like, you can't, if you know that your starters are going to be the one who's producing everything, like, don't have those three run the offense while your starters are camping out in the three. I just don't really understand. So yeah, this is it's pretty concerning. I mean, you got pretty good minutes from Otto Porter. Again, in Milwaukee, didn't play in Philadelphia because they're monitoring his minutes. But like, you know, like, we still have some, like, we haven't even seen Garrett Temple play yet. You know, like, we still have some vets.
Actually,
there.
Yeah, he did play yesterday.
Oh, did he?
It was garbage time. He got garbage time. Same with that.
He didn't really. Time. You didn't really play, right? So, like, you know, again, the same thing as that. So it's like you still have other bench pieces that you you can throw out there if, like, someone like Gary is not having it, Malachi's not having it. But, you know, at the same time, it's our bench is, buddy.
It's a headache to watch. And I think the first sign of this was the first game of the season. If you looked at, because Darko was also talking about how he's going to run a 10-man rotation. So we already knew who the first five were. We knew Gary was going to be off the bench. So who were those other four going to be? And it was interesting to see which other four he went with. He went with the four, like, sorry, if we think about the five that didn't play, because there's 15 on total in the bench. One was injured, which is Koloko. And the other four who didn't play just happened to be the four oldest players on the roster. So for me, it was a sign that he's going to try to see what these young guys are made of. This is why we saw McDaniels getting run over Boucher, right? It's why we saw Malachi getting some run over Garrett Temple and Thad Young, right? He wants to see what they're made of. But I will say this, you know, we started this by saying that a lot of this that we're talking about here is small sample size, right? Mm. I will say this. Malachi Flynn, that's not small sample size. We have over 3 years of seeing this. We have gotten enough sample to say he is not an NBA player. So I'm way off on Malachi. This was my last straw with him.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a new coach. Maybe it was the way Nurse was utilizing him. I was going to give him a chance, but this one doesn't need much more proof for me. I've got 3 seasons worth. This is not small sample size.
Yeah.
I'm out. Just start bringing in the two ways at this point. Like, I want to see Marquise Noel at this point.
I'm not on Malachi just yet. I understand the frustration. It's been quite some time, and he's been in Nurse's doghouse for a lot. But, you know, you saw the positivity that he receives from his player, from his teammates, from his coach. I mean, like, even Darko gave him a hug from him being productive, not by points, but just being there, you know, in the spots that he needs him to be. Like, what we need as fans, as, like, you know, couch coaches and couches GMs is, I think, yes, we've given him a lot, but also we haven't really our expectations were very high with him and are still very high with him. So I think we have to be like, okay, he's coming off the bench for Dennis Schroeder. At the same time, I don't think we're asking him to put up like 20 or something like that. I think we have to make sure that he's there to get deflections, get some steals, run the offense, just be productive and not be like a negative 14 as soon as you start on the court, you know what I mean? Like, just the little things. We just want the little things from Malachi. So I'm not out on him. I think he's a fine player. I try not to think about who went after and who went before in his draft class. I try not to think about that, but he's a Raptor and I have to give him, I have to encourage it. I have to think the positives for him. I'm not out on him just yet. My wife is, that's for sure. But I can tell you.
I think we all want young prospects to look as good as Victor Wembanyama. That's what it is, right? That was your cue to segue over to a much better prospect.
100%. So, okay. Wembanyama, oh, wait. So do you want to go with Wembanyama or do you want to talk about the James situation?
Oh,
we haven't had a chance to talk about that yet.
Oh, man.
I think we should save Wembanyama for next week because we'll actually be able to watch him. We haven't seen
that's
him
true.
Yet.
That's true. Right? Yeah.
Outside of the highlights and him dunking over KD and making KD look like. Have you ever seen those pictures of Yao Ming and Shaq beside, I don't think we had The Rock or something like that? And they both of them make The Rock look tiny.
Tiny, yeah.
Wembanyama makes KD look like a preschooler, you know what I mean? Like it's incredible and it's unreal. So let's watch him first.
We'll talk about it next week, but I have one Wembanyama question related to the Raptors before they face each other on Sunday.
Did we choose the wrong rookie of the year? Probably.
The question is, Who guards him?
Scotty.
Scotty. Interesting.
Yeah. Come on. Are you going to put Pirtle on him? No.
I'm putting OG on him.
OG?
Shut him the hell down.
I don't know. I mean, he can just shoot right over him. Scotty at least has the length and the, I guess, what you would call it, the arm length.
Or? I want to see OG. I want to see OG cover him. OG like cover centers. Him? Yeah. He's way stronger than him. Like, oh,
I don't think. Like, I mean, KD's not a bad defender, right? Was he on Wembanyama the last two games?
I don't know. Actually, it's funny because like people are like, oh, he scored 38 points last night, and here are all the highlights. I looked at all the highlights. I didn't see a single Phoenix player whose name I recognize guarding him.
Yeah,
like it was
true.
Like except for Aaron Jock Gordon. Landale, and like what's going on here? Like
yeah,
he scored 38 points because like KD wasn't guarding him or Devin Booker wasn't guarding him.
That's so anyways, fair.
I think you're probably right. You probably see more of Scott in him, but I will get very, very excited when OG, at some point, OG's going to guard him, whether it's on a switch or Darko wants to try something out, and I cannot wait to see that.
I haven't been this excited to watch an opposing team in a very long time, you know, or an opposing player. What a situation Wembanyama is in. Not only is he come on, let's be real. He's going to be the rookie of the year, but like he's in such a perfect situation to be coached by the best coach in the entire NBA and like a high class team. You know what I mean? Like I remember if you watch like his G League highlights or his overseas highlights, like he's pretty adamant. Like he's very animated when he like dunks or something like that. When you go to the Spurs, you're not allowed to celebrate at all. Right. So the couple of dunks that he's had, he just like walks away, you know, and it's incredible. I'm so happy that he landed in San Antonio. Obviously, the only other team I want him to be on is the Toronto Raptors, but that'll never happen. I'm just happy for it. Again. All right. So we'll put a pause on that. We'll talk about Wembanyama next week when we actually see this guy play. My final thing I want to ask you is about Mr. James Harden. So last we spoke about him, he was still a 76er. It was so funny talking about how he was going to the charter flights, and then they're like, "Oh, you're not on the manifest, so you can go right back home or go to the traders or something like that." It's incredible. Like, what a divorce from you know, having Daryl Morey get him out of Brooklyn and then saying that he's a liar, and it's the most like out there divorce that you've ever seen in the NBA. And so I know that it's just a player first league now, right? No, in my opinion, no other player outside of James Harden has taken full advantage of that, right? He's wanted out of Houston, he got it. Or actually, not even that. He asked for better players in Houston, he got it. He got Chris Paul. He asked it out, he went to Brooklyn, and he got players around him. And he wanted out. He went to Philly. He got that wish. Now he wanted out of Philly. He got that wish. And like, it's almost like the only superstar player that he's never played with is LeBron James. He's played with every single Hall of Famer I can think of that's in league right now. And like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I'm all about player empowerment, but like, it's not like he's been in bad situations. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know what's going on in the background, but like, holy, like, how many times can this guy ask out and get his wish? You know what I mean? Like, we've seen it with KD. I get it. I don't think it's as controversial as James Harden, though, you know?
No, I mean, at least KD brought championships to Golden State, right? This is like an apples to oranges comparison when you're thinking about Durant. I know that he did request it. Actually, maybe there are some similarities there, but at least Durant has a track record of bringing a championship. Harden doesn't have that on his resume, right? No. So, and I also wonder too, right? It's the Clippers were the only suitor. So there is this staring competition between Morey and the Clipper and Lawrence Frank. Like,
yeah,
I want Terrence Mann. I'm not giving you Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not giving you. And then it was just like this for 4 months.
Right.
It was a matter of who was going to blink. And at first glance, it feels like Morey blinked because he said, fine, I will take your package that does not include Terrence Mann. Here's Harden. So it looks like Daryl Morey got shafted, and I think that's what the initial reactions were. But at second glance,
when you look at it,
all of the players they got, every single one of them, A, are expiring. B, they are mid-size salaries. So not like 2 million or 3 million. Each of them are $11 million and $17 million. That's a lot of salary. That's more than Thad. That's more than Boucher. That's like $17 million is roughly what Gary Trent Jr. made last year. Like that's a decent size salary. So what I'm getting at is these are salaries both in size and in the ability that they're expiring. Very tradable again. So this opens up two avenues for Philadelphia. One, February trade line rolls around. They can package all three of these guys and get a big name. I'm looking at you, Zach LaVine. Or they just let them expire and yay, you have $60 million in cap space in the summer. Go ahead and buy your next free agent.
Like that's true.
They are set up really well for success.
Yeah.
So
just for context, so if you look at the trade, the 76ers sent James Harden, PG Tucker, and Philippe Petrušev to the Clippers for Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Nick Batum, KJ Martin, 2028 unprotected first round pick, 2 second round picks, a 2029 pick swap, and an additional first round pick from the OKC Thunder.
Those Clippers first rounders are going to look really good if if this falls apart, right? I mean, we're talking about, I know that like
2028,
Harden and Westbrook are past their prime. And George and Kawhi are like one ankle tweak away from retiring. Like it's very,
they're in their mid 30s.
Yeah. All of them. Yeah. Right. So those future first rounders start to look better and better as this group ages.
If the so basically what you're saying is, what's the owner, Ballmer? If Ballmer is trying his best to buy himself a championship. I mean, he can, frig, he bought himself a stadium. If they don't win this championship with James Harden, this would be a complete bust.
Absolutely, like,
I don't see any other way to think about that, because giving up that much for a possibility of getting, we talked a little bit before, the Western Conference is hella tough. You got to go through Golden State still. You got to go through the champions of the Nuggets. You still got to go through the Lakers. You still got to go through a rising OKC team. You still got to, like, it goes on and on with the West. And those are all Hall of Famers. You can't not think about Westbrook still there. Like, that starting lineup is great. It's on paper, it's great. If you don't win a championship, this is a bust. That's all I got to think about.
And also, if you don't win a championship this year, James Harden is unrestricted free agent.
That's incredible.
Like, that's incredible. At least end up fairly decent. Like, if this is the scenario where, like, I don't know, again, would Paul George and Kawhi being, you know, injury prone, if it ends up being one of those scenarios where, like, someone gets hurt and they underperform and whatever, Harden can just be like, okay, bye. Like, it could be really disastrous for them.
Yeah, it's just so funny how for how many months we Damian Lillard said he wanted to go to the Heat. He was this the only place that he wanted to go to, and he didn't end up going there. Albeit the deal probably, you know, the package for Milwaukee was better than the Heat, but like as much there was like no other leak from the organization that James wanted to go anywhere else except for the Clippers. There was literally no other choice. You know, there wasn't like, oh, like you know, Toronto was always in all the news rumors. Like, not even Toronto was like, you know, possibility or New York or something like that. Like, it was Clippers or nothing.
You know?
It was Clippers or James Harden is going to pull a Ben Simmons and go to practice and not care. Like, it was all or nothing. It's incredible. I just think that if this doesn't go down and he doesn't win a championship with the Clippers, is he going to ask for, like, if I was him, I better ask for like a max deal. Like, he's still James Harden, he's still a Hall of Famer, but like, who's going to pay him $53 million a year so he can like leave, ask for a trade again. Like, it's incredible, man. I love the NBA.
And one more correction on the Clippers payroll. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have player options next year. So again, if this falls apart this year, they can just decline and be like, okay, bye. Like all three of them, George, Kawhi, Harden, can all just leave in the summer if they want to. Like it's incredible what they've really put all of their chips into this season.
I would love to know what Terrence Mann was thinking when he was sitting there when James Harden was walking in. He was. Did you see that?
Terrence Mann is like, he's like OG Anunoby for us. It's like you're in every trade rumor and you manage to survive.
It's true. Well, that's another trade story in the books. James Harden is a Clipper. I think his debut will be Monday, which I think that's gonna be quite.
Have fun sharing the ball between the four of you. Like,
Where is it gonna go? I don't understand. Anyways, again, this is gonna be a short one. I really like talking to you, Jay, as always, Dre. Hopefully, we'll be on next week. He has TIFF going on, so. Let's watch Wembanyama, bro. Let's be Wembaniacs. I'm going to start.
Wembanyamaniacs.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try to start a trend. Okay. Anyways, until next time, Jay, always a pleasure. That's a wrap.